I'm going to try something here this morning I've never done before. And that's an impromptu illustration at the beginning without letting those that I'm going to ask to volunteer beforehand. So we'll see how this goes. Rosie, Noah, if I could have you guys come stand right up here for me, or that'd be just great. Let's give them a hand for their willingness. Imagine, if you will, that Clear Lake Christian Church had designed this new fantastic logo and wanted to get it out in front of the whole community, so they wanted to get shirts that every one of us could wear. And in so doing, you know, they said we could save 35 cents a shirt if we got them all the same size. You're with me. So as we're looking at this, we've all seen those places where they say one size fits all. You know, in the one case, the shirt may look like, you know, you're just kind of putting a dust cover over the top of a frame. On the other, it's going to look a little bit like melted ice cream cone. Thank you very much. The Word of God is kind of like that and kind of not like that. Because the Word of God, one size fits all. It means the same thing to all people. The Holy Spirit is intended that there is truth, and that truth is the same for everyone. But here's where the Word of God is different. It's not like that t-shirt that one size fits all, but it's like a beautifully tailored jacket that is specifically made for you. Because within the life experience that we have, God knows that we are individuals. And when we go to put on that jacket of living out the Word of God in our own life, it is based upon our circumstances in our life. It's not designed to fit your friend. It's not designed to fit your neighbor, because your relationship with Jesus is personal. Yes, it's designed for being the same for everybody, and yet it's tailored to fit you perfectly. And it's within that experience that we know that the way that it comes to us fits our own situation, our own circumstances. As we conclude the Gospel of John today, we're going to be looking specifically at Peter and some of the attention on him, which we have seen for quite some time. Chapter 21 of John, beginning at verse 15, when we will see, number one, reconciliation is the goal. Please follow with me as you, in your own Bibles, as we read verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to Simon, "Son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." First off, we can notice here that they were eating. This is something that the disciples of Jesus do on a regular basis. That is the reason that Clear Lake Christian Church believes in plab. Potlucks are biblical. That's the reason we're going to have one September 29th, right after the service. Gives you plenty of time to make sure it's on your calendar. Be there. Okay, so they get done eating, and Jesus asked Peter three times this question. We're all aware. Peter is painfully aware. He denied Jesus three times. And now Jesus is asking him, do you love me? Three times. And Peter answers him three times. Yes, I do. Now, it's within this that Peter is looking at this situation and it's like, okay, wow, this seems to be a little bit close to home. Now, Jesus is asking me this three times. Peter's aware he's already been forgiven by Jesus. He's aware of his failure. And it's in tantamount in his mind. He can't get away from it. And yet he is wanting to feel like he's connected again. That is why Jesus is asking him in front of the other disciples. He's already talked to him privately. Peter has already been forgiven. But here we can see that Jesus is formally reinstating Peter in his relationship with Jesus in front of the other disciples. Therefore, Jesus is reinstating Peter to the other disciples and their relationship. Because what else Jesus does here is three times he is commissioning Peter to pick up his ministry, to carry it on, as he's telling him to do what I've been doing. Take care of the other believers. So it's within that experience that Peter is certainly going through this. Now, as we're looking at this, and Peter is reinstated, it's so important to always remember that when speaking to one who has fallen into disfavor, that the goal is not that they know the truth. They're probably already painfully aware of the truth. The goal is not that they would know their error so that they would not repeat it. The goal is not so that others listening can learn by their mistakes so that they won't make the same one. Now, all of those things may be beneficial consequences of dealing with someone who's had a misstep. But it is not the goal. The goal is always reconciliation, which is so important. For in the church, all of your spiritual leaders are imperfect. Now, I don't want to go out on a limb here. I don't want to make an assumption, but I think I'm pretty safe in doing so. Is there any of you that are having a spiritual influence on others that is no longer a sinner? Okay, I assume correctly. We're all sinners. We're all imperfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to need, instead of somebody coming along and telling us what we did wrong, though that may be part of it, what we need is forgiveness. What we need is grace. This is to be the earmark of a Christian because it is the earmark of how Jesus deals with us as he gives us the example with Peter. Secondly, we can see that different circumstances, same purpose. Reading verses 18 and 19. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is a rather somber presentation of the very fact of Peter's crucifixion. Jesus followed the Father's will, so the disciples should follow the Lord's will wherever that path may go. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the circumstances, wherever the Lord calls us to go, we should follow. It is within this context that we can see that Peter, who still ringing in his ears is the sound of his own voice denying the Lord. And so that Peter is ever more just extremely acutely aware, I am committed to Jesus and I will follow him unto the death. I think that Peter, in hearing these words from Jesus, that he was going to die a martyr's death, he took as a welcome adventure he would walk through someday in his life. It gave him a purpose to fulfill until that point. Because then, when he died for Jesus, he knew absolutely for certain that he belonged to Jesus Christ, and that the fact that he denied him long ago doesn't matter at all. He followed Jesus and was found worthy of dying for him. So Peter is all excited about this. And then he happens to take notice of John. He's going, okay, and how did Jesus get his attention? Was with a very direct command. I mean, he's saying the same thing to you and I that he said to Peter. Follow me. Follow me. So he gets his attention off of himself and he puts it on to John. He sees John there. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Jesus is trying to get Peter's focus off of John and back where it belongs, onto himself, with the simple command repeated, "Follow me." It is here that we can relate to ourselves. It is so easy for us to be distracted by the unnecessary concerns of what we don't know about God's will in our life. You know, college students can really relate to this. Am I doing what God really wants me to do? Am I at the place He really wants me right now? And to that I say, that's all good, but I think that more importantly, we need to realize how much of what God wants us to do, He's given to us already. 90% of how you are going to live out your life is already contained in the pages of this book. And if we but implement those, we've got the 90% taken care of. Why in the world would we want to obsess about the other 10% and so that we miss the 90? Let's get the 90 right. Let's leave the 10% up to God who hasn't revealed it to us yet and know that He will. Is not God still in control? Is He not going to bring these things to pass as they should go? Let us live according to trust. Let us live according to faith, that we can trust in the Son of God, who is going to bring that other 10% into line. But our focus should be on the other 90% that we already know what it is. Love one another. Don't hold a grudge. Be forgiving. Pray without ceasing. Demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. This composes 90% of your life. Focus on that. Trust God for the rest. It's interesting here that as we look at this, John is writing, and he's writing this much later than the words were recorded, in which he's basically saying, hey, there was a false rumor that started about him not going to die until the kingdom come. And so John is kind of special, and that's the way it's going to fall out. And John's going, no, that isn't what Jesus said at all, and he's trying to set it straight. I think the key thing that we can grab out of this verse right here, verse 23, is that it shows the possibility of misunderstanding God's truth. Back to our one size fits all, this should say the same thing to each one of us. How it fits is our own life. What it says, one size fits all. And so in understanding that spiritual dynamic, certainly if we know that it is certainly possible to misunderstand God's truth, then we need to put ourselves in submission to Him so that we would never override the Holy Spirit, who is the one who guides us into all truth. Number three, enough but not all, verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If any one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, the disciples were the eyewitnesses to the very events in Christ's life. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. So as you're looking at these disciples that are recording these things for all time, for our benefit, there is no one else that could report these things like they did. There's no one else that would be a reasonable judge over what they have written and passed on to us. They were there, they saw it with their own eyes, and they have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to send it forward for us to have. Sure, we can get into little debates about how the textual criticism and that whole thing of how it's been translated for generation after generation after generation, but the exact same Holy Spirit that empowered these disciples in their witness is the exact same Holy Spirit that is going to make sure that even though there may have been some small change in from one copy to the next, Holy Spirit is going to make sure we get what we're supposed to get from it. Remember, the Word of God is always one size fits all. It says what it says, but how it works is it fits our life perfectly. So here's John, and John has selected a certain amount of material for his gospel. He's been selective. Why? Because he's trying to put it in an organized fashion that you come away knowing one thing for sure. Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you can have life eternal, life in His name. It is within this that as John has used just a small portion of the words and deeds of Jesus, it almost begs the question, how much could be written? There were thousands that were healed by Jesus? Would we not be able to ask each one of them their own personal experience of what it was like to go through that miracle of having Jesus touch their life? Would we not be able to find out from their families what impact this healing had upon them? Would we not be able to include with that the neighbors who saw this family rejoicing to God for their life being touched by Jesus? That'd be quite a long set of books. How about his words? Would not every single one of his words be valuable for us to read, to concentrate on, to mull over, and then to respond to write out what it means to us and how that we're motivated to go live that out in our life? So though some will call this hyperbole that John is employing here in terms of the whole world could not contain the books that would be written, if every single word of Jesus, if every single miracle of Jesus was written out in exhaustive form, that is no hyperbole. That is no exaggeration. For I don't know about you, but the very fact that the Son of God of the universe, the one who created it, the one who sustains it, and has given us everything, has brought me into a relationship to him, is my miracle. And I have plenty to say about that. So we could continue writing. We could use up all the ink, all of the paper, and we would not be done testifying of the one that we could testify of. This is what John has done. He said, hey, we could never finish writing about this guy. I've taken a portion of it so that you may know who he is. We can never say all, but he is. I've given you enough that there's proof. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the great I Am. Though we would never be able to say it all, John has said enough. He selected his material to prove that we can know for sure who Jesus is. Anyone can find life in his name if they believe. We have finished John. We have covered the whole gospel. May you know with absolute certainty, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And may you right now be experiencing that eternal life that he has lavished upon us. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. When there was nothing we could do for ourselves, you met us with grace and forgiveness. May we respond in kind, recognizing you for who you are to empower us to give grace and forgiveness to others. Lord, may we be willing to always testify, you are the Son of God, and there is life in your name. Amen. You can keep on playing softly. I love it. Keep going. Looked up there and I thought, boy, Courtney looks tall. God has certainly blessed us with his word, one size fits all. With his salvation, one size fits all. With his spirit, one size fits all. And yet, when we go to put it on as a person, it is like a finely tailored suit. That's the kind of God he is. That's the kind of life he wants us to enjoy. If for any reason things aren't clear to you about the Christian life, if there's something that is bothering you that you just have a question and it's like, I don't seem to be enjoying everything about this I'm supposed to, ask me. It'd be a real joy to share with you. God's design for your life is to experience that suit that will give you joy and strength regardless of what is going on around you. Let us stand. Father, we truly thank you. You have loved us with an everlasting love. You sent your Son to this earth to show us how to live, to die in our place, that we may experience the quality, the kind of life that only you have, that's eternal in nature. Yes, in duration, it's a long, long time. But in quality, that it's the very character of that that belongs to you and not to creation. You've allowed us to break through that barrier that keeps us from experiencing God in this world. Lord, that's the experience you want us to have. Thank you for your ever-present grace and forgiveness that allows us to remain in fellowship with you if we but confess. Lord, we pray that as you are towards us, you would help us be towards others, that they will be drawn unto you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.